Hi, welcome to the Pet Healer Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Mitzi Vargas. And today we're going to talk about healing using food. And first of all, this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for adequate, you know, veterinary care. You hopefully will learn some things or learn a different perspective about healing with foods and perhaps bring this up in conversation with your veterinarian or try to reach and seek the help of a TCVM practitioner, traditional Chinese veterinary medicine practitioner, that can help you make some decisions regarding food. But I'll like to explain the philosophy of using food as a healing modality. And this is not a very new idea. As a matter of fact, the founder of the modern medicine, Hippocrates, he said, let food be thy medicine. So this is ancient times, and we're talking about how important food is in order to make our bodies heal. And we've forgotten that. So when was the last time you went to the doctor and they prescribe you to eat plant food diet, or they prescribe you to eat less of this and more of that? Oftentimes, if you have high blood pressure, they put you on a drug to suppress that. Or if you have diabetes, they don't talk about the lifestyle that you need to change in order to keep that sugar under control. They mostly give you drugs and things like that, and how to manage the disease. So they tell you how to manage the disease, but they don't make any attempt to cure the disease. And that, my friends, is what we're trying to do with this modality of food therapy. And I learned this at the Qi University in Florida. And it's based on the principle that the food brings a certain energy to the body. So remember when I was explaining about the energies, you know, that the universe is divided, the absolute or God is divided in a duality of yin and yang. And then the energy is further characterized in five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. Remember that? Well, those five elements and that yin and yang energy define everything in our world, even the foods. So some foods are yin, some foods are yang, some foods are neutral, some foods have elements of wood, some foods are element of fire, and so on. And so knowing that is important. You harness that energy in an intentional way. Then the other thing about the food energy is that it provides a specific energy for the body called Gu Qi. The Gu Qi is the functional energy, the life force of the food. And that is extracted in the spleen and stomach meridians. And that is joined by the energy that you take from the environment. So the ancient Chinese knew that your environment and what you eat are crucial to your health. So you're born with Jing, J-I-N-G, Qi. Jing Qi is predetermined. You got what you got. Some people live really long lives and they abuse their body in all ways, drinking whiskey and smoking whatnot, and then get to 100. And some people take care of themselves and they live to early 20s until they succumb to heart disease or kidney disease or whatever it is. That was predetermined. You can extend your life for sure. The only way is by increasing the quality of the Gu Qi, the energy. Because the Gu Qi and your environmental Qi, which is the Sheng Qi, which is extracted from the environment into the lung system, and that joins the Gu Qi, and then it creates your immune system, your Sheng, Sheng Qi, basically. Your Song Qi and your Gu Qi create your Sheng Qi. So anyway, so the energy that is basically the base of your immune system is extracted from the food. That is just such a basic concept, but such a transcendental idea that the food can heal you. So it's the same for your pet. Let me tell you, dog food was created for the dog owners, not for the dogs, because it's convenient. It stores for long times. You can travel with it. It's just very convenient. Is it the best for your pet? Well, I beg to differ. It is not. However, if you're not going to put the effort into providing the right balance of nutrients and the right balance of foods and the right way of feeding your dog using whole foods, then of course, by all means, rely on the already balanced food that is the dog food. However, if your pet is suffering from an ailment, then I beg you to reconsider and enlist the help of a TCBM practitioner that is certified in food therapy. And let's attack the disease, the root of the disease, using foods. So when you look at Western medicine and nutrition, it's so far off and sometimes diametrically opposed to the food therapy. Why? Because they are looking at protein, percentage of fat, minerals, and what's the carbs amounts, and that's great, and it's necessary if you're doing the Western approach. But what we look at is energy, so the right blend of energies. And so, of course, before you decide to dump the food that you're feeding your pet, consult your veterinarian. But it's definitely a way to heal. So let's say, for example, kidney disease. In Western medicine, kidney disease is managed by using a low protein, low phosphorus, diet. So, for example, a carnivore, like a cat, is a strict carnivore, and you have to lower that protein in order to spare the kidneys, once they have kidney disease. But that cat is a strict carnivore, so the body's just asking for the food, for the meat. And so, yes, you can manage that cat using a low protein diet, and that should be attempted for sure. But some cats do not respond to that. They keep losing weight. They keep getting worse. They refuse to eat that food. So what do you do then? So those are the cats that come to me. They're not being managed. The kidney disease is progressing pretty fast. They're not eating. They're wasting away. Such cat was one called Taj Mahal. Is one of my favorite cases. And this is before I learned about food therapy. This is me intuitively guiding my healing. And so Taj Mahal was diagnosed at 11 with kidney disease, and she was a beautiful blue-eyed kitty, and she Siamese, and so she wouldn't eat the low-protein diet. She was completely addicted to the fancy feast. So I said to the owner, well, let's just let her eat the food, and we looked at the different kinds of foods, and I said to her, well, use the fish, because the fish, that's what she likes, and she put her on salmon, and not just salmon from kitty cat, but whole salmon. I mean, she will buy the salmon, fresh salmon, and give it to her. And we did fluids and we did other things for her. And I did a lot of phosphate binders that are orally, and she took them well. But we managed her kidney disease. And then I learned acupuncture, and I added that to the regular treatment that she would come and do. But she lived to 20, almost 21. And so that was with kidney disease. Now, did her enzymes go back to perfect normal? No. But they were really hanging around a certain amount. And but it was functional. I mean, and she was happy and everything until the day she died. And so she was a very good teacher for me, into that you can have a great idea. And cats are good at that. You can have the best ideas, the best intention in mind to use a certain foods. And the cat says, I'm not going to eat that. I'd rather die. And so you have to adapt your plan, right? You can't keep trying to force it to them. So Taj Mahal was a first one that inspired me to learn a little bit more about food and how does it work. And so there's a lot of concepts around food and how to use the different energies. But did you know that there's the flavor of the foods, which are really related to the five elements? And they could be sour, bitter, sweet, pungent, salty, or bland. And each flavor can help you solve a specific problem. So that the sour food will dry up body fluid. So if your pet has like diarrhea or it has ascites, which is the accumulation of fluids inside of the abdomen due to heart disease or anything like liver disease, something that would accumulate fluids, then you should use sour foods like tomatoes and pineapple and vinegar, even the lemon juice would do it. So most owners, when an animal has diarrhea, they feed chicken and rice. Funny thing, why do they actually work really well in a couple of days of feeding that bland diet of chicken and rice and white rice, the animals get over the diarrhea or the tummy ache? Basically, because chicken is a sour food, it will dry up the gut. The rice is a pungent food, and it will relieve the blockage of qi, which, that's what causes the intestinal pain. So boiled chicken and rice is the universal food balm for a sore GI tract. And about bitterness, bitterness takes away heat conditions or inflammatory conditions. So if you have a pet that has bloody mucusy stool, then you can do the chicken and rice and add some celery to it, because the celery is pretty good. It's pretty bitter. And turkey is also pretty bitter. So maybe it will be, instead of chicken or rice, you could do turkey, rice, and celery in it. And I am a earth and fire personality, so I have a sweet tooth. Everybody knows that. And so I think that the sweet foods are really good for energy tonics. They tonify your energy of the organs. And so one of those is dates. Dates are really good qi tonics, and it's a great treat for arthritic, older, geriatric pets, or even for pets that are really weak, facing giant surgeries, but big surgeries and trying to recover. So dates is a good packet of energy, dense energy. And so it really will help. So then pungent flavors are going to be really useful for edema, swellings. So if they have garlic is a really good pungent flavor. And a lot of people say, well, Dr. Vargas, isn't garlic toxic to dogs? Well, it is and it isn't. It's all in the amount that you give, of course. So one or two garlic cloves for a medium-sized dog is nothing. One clove or a half a clove for a little dog, it's great. And what I would do is I would do a garlic crusher and just extract the juice of the garlic, put it on the food. And then the salty foods are great to soften any harden any hardness. And what is that hardness? So it could be tumors, or it could be the cellulitis, which is the swelling of the muscles and the tissues in the body that are really thick and heavy. And so you could use crab meat or water, and they sell crab water and clam water out there for, you know, soups and things like that. So you can just get the water and add it to the food. And how much of the food do you need to change in order to extract the benefit that would be therapeutic? Well, the good news is that you don't have to overhaul the whole system. If you're feeding dog food and you feel like, wow, it's so convenient and the dog really has been doing fairly good on it, but now we have this disease and we want to heal it. The reality is at least 25% of all the calories that your dog or cat is ingesting should come from an intentional whole food. An intentional meaning that you know what kind of energy you're aiming to provide, and you're seeking that specific energy from that food, and you're doing 25% of the calories should be that way. And then you will see incredible results with just 25% of the change. Just to get you an idea, if you're doing the dry food, and let's say the dog is an elderly, arthritic dog that it has low energy, just by doing the regular dog food and adding, let's say, a medium sweet potato. Let's talk, this hypothetical dog is a golden retriever that is older and is weak in the back, and it has a little bit of low energy. So you're feeding a dry food diet. But first of all, I would try to put you on a food that the energy would be a chi-boosting energy. So chicken would be a good one. Beef is a little neutral, but it would be a good one too. I would avoid actually fish, because fish and turkey and duck are cold energies. And if I'm already weak and not and low energy, then I would like something that is more dense that would provide the energy. So it would be more chicken or venison. Venison is super hot food, by the way. So that would be a great one. And then just adding, it's switching the protein on the diet. So the good news is that most brands have multiple protein kinds of diets within the brand, so you don't have to switch brands, but you just get the flavor. And get the flavor that mostly will aim to heal that condition, and then just add some whole food on top. So you can dress up if you have available some chicken or some venison, whole food, you can just dress up the food. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just dress up the dry food that you already switched the protein to with that. Or just a medium sweet potato. Sweet potato is just a little battery. It really is. It has a lot of energy, and it has a lot of really good nutrients as well and fiber. But the energy of the sweet potato is what we're at. It's a chi tonic, energy tonic. And so that would be one that I would strongly recommend. It's a very easy thing to do. Just add a sweet potato. I know your dog was going to love it. So definitely those are things that we can do, and you don't have to invest a lot of time. You don't have to make big changes that could also cause diarrhea. Again, some of the changes with food have to be a little bit gradual, mixing things together, because cold turkey sometimes, going cold turkey, could cause a big change in the gut biome, and then the pets completely lose it with diarrhea and vomiting, or even pancreatitis. So you have to be careful with that, but use the guidance of a veterinarian. But basically, it's a way to go. Now, I use the temperature of foods. That's my default. I also use other flavors and things like that, but I really use temperature. Temperature is either hot, warm, cold. cool or neutral. So if your pet has an inflammatory condition, I call them hot dogs. You know, in Florida, we get these dogs that are just all red and they're itchy and they're chewing on themselves and they're really just, the skin is just, oftentimes you have a nasty infection in the skin. That to me is a hot dog. Is oftentimes is the happy-go-lucky fire personality dogs. Again, think about this. If your personality is fire, that means you're super sociable, super happy, super hyperactive. Hyperactive meaning you have extra excess energy. Then it makes sense that if you are an unbalanced constitution, that your problems are going to be reflected in the heart, in the blood vessels, or any condition that is inflammatory, because you're so hot anyways as a base. Your base is your personality, so you add fuel to that. You're already hot and you are adding fuel to that, then it's too much hot. Nature tends to balance. Health is actually a state of homeostasis, of balance. So the further away you go from it, that's when you get dis-ease. That's when you get problems. So a hot dog, I would probably put on fish, which is a cool diet, duck or turkey. I would probably put that dog on raw food. That's another side note. A lot of people ask me, what do you think about raw food diet, feeding raw foods? I think it's okay, except there's certain challenges. Raw food is predisposed to get salmonella if handled improperly. The raw food cannot be left in a bowl all day. It's fed at that moment. If they don't eat it, you dispose of it or put it back in the fridge, but don't let it linger. And so raw foods for an elderly dog that it is weak and has low energy, a chi deficient dog should not eat raw food. A young, energetic, excess energy hot dog definitely will benefit from raw food. So I hear people that said, well, my friend's dog is in raw food diets and he's doing wonderful. I tried raw foods on my dog. Now I have chronic diarrhea and he's very, very sick. What's going on? It's because you're attempting to do the cookie cutter approach, and dogs are not cookies. They are not all the same. They have personalities. They have different environments. So you have to take into account all of that in order to change the food. So the food is another factor. So good cheese, great energy. The only way that you get telomeres and repair cells and things like that is by eating proper foods. So when you come to a inflammatory condition, and we can think inflammatory or hot patterns, right? Ulcers is a hot pattern or heat in the stomach, right? Or the skin rashes are definitely hot conditions. So when you have this heat, imagine if you're feeding dry food to that animal. Dry food is highly pasteurized. It's dry, has no fluids. So if you're hot and you're adding like dry, it's like adding wood, dry wood to a fire. It's gonna take off, right? It's gonna even intensify. So that's why you have to pay attention to what's the condition of the animal and to what you recommend to treat. So raw foods, canned diets. If you don't want raw food, oh, I don't want to deal with salmonella, then how about canned diets? Canned diets have a lot more moisture in it. And especially for cats, cats are so bad about drinking enough water. Most dogs drink enough water, but cats are like camels. They don't want to drink. And so adding the canned food really helps to making sure that they have adequate hydration. And you can extend those by adding Pedialyte or electrolyte water to both dogs and cats' canned food. I mean, if you think they're not drinking enough, you know, and then just extend that can, make it a little bit soupier. And then that way you know that they are being hydrated. I have a tip in my book. I recommend that putting unflavored Pedialyte into ice cube trays and freezing it. And then you just get the cubes to the dog. And then I'm inspired about my dogs. They love ice. Oh, why? But they love ice. Well, I should know why. Because my dogs, the dogs that like it, they are the pugs. And pugs are universally fire dogs. They love everybody. They're super friendly, super high energy. So they love ice. So what I do, I just get frozen Pedialyte cubes and give it to them. So if you have any kind of inflammatory condition, and this goes by for yourself as well, any kind of inflammatory condition, rheumatoid arthritis could, I mean, if it's hot, it could benefit. Any kind of condition that is inflammatory in your body will benefit from doing some of the cooling foods. And what are those foods? When it comes to protein, that's the turkey, your duck, clam, cod, crab, scallop, and rabbit. When it comes to grain, would be mung beans. That's a super, super cooling food. They use it in China in summer. Everybody drinks mung bean soup because it is so clearing of heat. It just clears the heat really well. But wheat does that too, and barley and alfalfa and brown rice, believe it or not. Tofu is also, did I mention tofu? Yeah, I did a lot of tofu. Have to be watchful about that because then you can get too cool as well. But in vegetable, eggplant, you know, eggplant is a cooling vegetable. Corn is cooling. Spinach is cooling. Celery is cooling. Kelp is cooling. By the way, kelp is a great supplement for senior dogs. It provides so many vitamins that are excellent and are needed for your brain function, for cognitive function. So for yourself and your pets, do your favor and add kelp to your diet. And of course, the fruits that we can talk about are apples and bananas and watermelon and cantaloupe and pears. So you can do apple slices to those hot dogs. You know, it's a treat. Don't have to be store-bought treats. You can use whole foods as a treat. Again, remember, 25% of the calories coming from whole foods will really make a big impact in the health of your pet. And so how about the opposite? How about when you have cold conditions? So what is a cold condition? If you rub your hand, and I would say the back of your hands because the palms are a little bit harder, less sensitive to picking up temperature gradients. But if you rub the hand along the body of your pet and you feel there are areas that are really cold, like for example, a very arthritic dog, ears are hot, head is hot, underneath of the dog is hot, but when you touch the back, exactly along the spine, it's kind of cold, and exactly around the hips, it's kind of cold, and the back legs, even the back feet are colder than the rest of the body, you have a problem there. Because in complete homeostasis, in complete health, the heart pumps equally to the right and to the left, to the front and to the back of the body. So when there are different regions that are marked differences in different regions of the body, then that's when you're thinking, there might be a blockage of energy here. There might not be even distribution of the resources of the body in this area, and that area is in trouble. And so in kidney qi deficiency, which is a condition that affects geriatric pets, you have arthritis. It's a cold arthritis in the joints. They are dry, they're stiff, but they're also cold. So in those, you have to then feed a different kind of food. In those, you will use foods that are hot, that are very dense in energy. And an example, like I mentioned before, venison is super hot. Chicken is hot. Lamb is hot, but not too hot, but it's warm. shrimp, lobster, beef, kidneys, and ham, all of them proteins are considered warm or hot. In the grains, walnut, nutmegs, white rice is a little warm. And then in the vegetables, sweet potato, like I mentioned before, pumpkin, garlic, ginger, and chives. And then, of course, chives, you have to be very careful because the dogs are, you know, the chives and the onions are can cause hemolytic anemia, can cause bleeding disorders in dogs. So, I mean, we're talking more, you know, use the things that you know that are totally safe. But for yourself, chives and ginger and horseradish are really good if you have that condition that you have. You're always cold. Your body's trying to tell you something. So feed it warm foods like papaya, peach, apricot, raspberry, blackberry, citrus, coconut. These are warm foods. And so, again, you can do a single item or you can try multiple. But the important thing is that 25% of the calories are coming from that. And so I have had problems with people feeding foods and coming to me for TCVM and then coming to their regular vets for Western medicine when it comes to, for example, the kidney disease. Because again, or liver disease, because again, the main Western recommendation is to lower the protein. But depending on the personality and depending on my assessment using TCVM principles, I might tell that person to start feeding whole food chicken. And it's kind of like, they're like, but aren't I supposed to limit the protein? But let me tell you, many pets have overcome severe liver disease on my chicken garlic diet. And, you know, some of them are living 7 and 8 years past a diagnosis of hepatocellular carcinoma just because they are completely on whole foods and they're completely on a carnivore, almost keto food that I put them on. And so, again, it's just a difference of thinking and perspective. And if they're not doing well on the Western approach, then you know the outcome, right? So then why not try a perfectly fine alternative food therapy? And it might sound really bad, but if the animal's thriving on it, then I think it's warranted to keep it that way. So that pet in particular that I'm thinking about, his name is Grizzly. And he was diagnosed at a year and a half to 18 months. Can't remember. I mean, 18 months, sorry. It's a year and a half. 18 months old, he was diagnosed with hepatocellular carcinoma with the, you know, diagnosis, liver biopsy and everything. And he was on a low-protein diet, and he had lost 30 pounds, and he was yellow, and he was not eating, and he was no energy, and he was dying. And they told him, euthanize, there's no saving this dog. And they came to me for acupuncture and TCVM consult. And we did acupuncture with B12, and we did an herb to clear the liver, and we did an herb too that is anti-tumor, anti-cancer, called Stasis Breaker. And so we did all of that, but the first thing I told them, we need to switch the diet. You need to cook for your dog. And we put him on the chicken garlic diet that I have in my book. I call it Dudley's diet in the memory of the dog that I first tried it on, who incidentally had liver failure and recovered and lived many years past that. And so I named it against, for his name, Dudley. But I put Grizzly on Dudley's diet and mung bean because hepatocellular carcinoma is also causes a lot of inflammation in the liver. So he had mung bean soup and he had garlic chicken on alternate. He loved the food. He immediately started eating, gained the weight back. Now he's chubby. He gained a lot more than he needed. But, we tend to be very passive about that because, you know, poor guy was about to die, you know, not eating. So you turn to be a little bit more permissive when they overcome such odds. And it's been 8 years past that day when he was told that, you know, he wasn't going to survive. And so, of course, you know, he has come every month since for his tune-up. He comes for a tune-up, and he's still in Whole Foods. And again, anybody in Western medicine will look at that case and say, well, what are you doing? You're crazy. You have to lower the protein. But again, the owner and I know better, you know. He was an earth personality, and so he can take to move the earth personalities. You need a lot. You need a tractor to move the earth, right? And literally, and so metaphorically as well. You know, these animals need a lot of energy. The earth personalities too. And they are healed by the gut because they're dominated by the spleen and the stomach meridians, which are the ones that transform your food and extract the gu qi, the energy of the food. So I knew these earth personalities, food therapy is so essential for them. It's essential to get better. And so I hope that some of these concepts you found interesting. There's so much help for arthritis, dementia, cancer. Cancer is one of my top ones that I use. But even bleeding disorders, you can help so many conditions that seem hopeless in Western medicine with just food therapy. It's definitely a cornerstone of the holistic approach. And this modality is the hardest one to be accepted in the Western medicine. It doesn't follow the way of analyzing the food components. So it's a little bit hard, but we are energy. And the energy we eat is the energy that we become. And so we are what we eat is an important tenet of food therapy. And I can only tell you experiential knowledge. It definitely helps to know what you're eating, because that's what you're becoming. So thank you for listening today. I hope you found it interesting. And the next episode, we're going to sort of wrap up my book, Obvet, into the concept of longevity. How can we extend the life of our beloved pets? So we're going to go on a little tour and to how to extend the life, even if they have a chronic condition or acute or chronic condition that they're fighting. And so hopefully all the topics that we touch on like coalesce into a nice episode next time. Until then, stay safe and thank you for listening. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. And information about this episode came from my book, Alvet, The Revolutionary Pet Care and Longevity Solution, available in Amazon at our clinic and soon to be an audiobook. So look forward to that. And this episode was sponsored by my practice, Orchid Springs Animal Hospital. And our website is www.osahvsinvictorets.com, osavets.com. There's a lot of information out there if you want some more information on integrative pet healing. And our Pet Healer podcast is going to be available in all platforms. So we're looking forward to seeing you again.